You and your family are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. This weekend, Associate Pastor Carvey Carpenter will continue with our series called Upside Down. In this time of crisis, people pray. Again, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, this time focusing in on the particular part, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Today's message is entitled Protection.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for connecting with us. As you know, we're in a series on the Lord's Prayer, and today we'll be looking at how the Lord's Prayer is a prayer of protection that leads us to a pathway of escape when it comes to the temptations that we face in life. I need this. You probably need this as well. In fact, everyone needs this. You know, the last 6 weeks, we've prayed the Lord's Prayer together. So wherever you are right now, I want to invite you to join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we're going to zoom in on that phrase that says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says straight up that there is in fact an evil one. No question in his mind that this evil one is on a mission to wreck your life. And his tactic, it seems, is to bombard us daily with all sorts of temptations and with the goal of wreaking as much havoc and chaos and destruction into our lives and to those around us as possible. Make no mistake, the evil one is good at what he does. You see, sin wrecks everything. It can destroy a career. It can take your health away from you. It can steal your joy or even kill a relationship. So how do we find protection from temptation? Jesus says to turn to the power of prayer and the presence of God. You stand zero chance of overcoming temptation on your own. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, these words. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, you may be willing, you may want to overcome your temptations, but willpower alone is not enough. It'll work for a while, of course, but soon you'll get tired and your willpower will fade. No lasting change ever happens by willpower alone. So Jesus says to pray. He says to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When it comes to dealing with sin, the good news is that God does give us a Savior. The other good news is that God also gives us a strategy. And that's what I want to talk about today for the next few moments. God's strategy for overcoming temptation. You see, Jesus says this strategy begins with a prayer. Prayer is perhaps our greatest weapon against the evil one, whose mission, as you know, is to kill and to steal and to destroy, according to the scriptures. Paul puts it like this. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This means we're being hunted. We're being stalked like prey. And without a plan, you're like a sitting duck. I saw the cover of an outdoor magazine that showed an elk that was fleeing from a hunter, and the picture was taken as though you were looking through the scope of a rifle. The crosshairs were aligned on the side of its chest, just the right angle, so that if the shot had been taken, it would have pierced the heart. And the article was all about the best shooting angles. I'm not a real hunter. In fact, the only thing I ever hunt for are my car keys. But I understand that a real hunter's position, either above or beside or diagonally to his prey, makes a big difference. The hunter of your soul acts in similar ways. It's as if the evil one knows and has determined the best angle at which your heart can be pierced. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your tendencies. He knows when you're vulnerable. He knows how you think and what gets your attention. And that's why the Lord's Prayer is so vital to our spiritual health. Jesus is giving us a battle plan for discipleship. And make no mistake, we are in a fight. We're in a big fight. It's a war for who will sit on the throne of your heart, a fight for who is in control of your life. And the evil one, well, he has an arsenal of temptations customized to defeat you. And so the next time you face temptation, remember, you're in a battle with the evil one, and the Lord's Prayer is like a wartime walkie-talkie, not an intercom to God to bring more snacks to the den while you're watching Netflix. The Lord's Prayer is a spiritual weapon used to connect you directly to the one who can provide a way of escape. The Apostle Paul says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted," he says, "that he will provide a way out so that you can endure it." God will provide for you a way out, a way of escape. And I'm going to tell you, that escape always starts with a prayer. "Lord, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." Now, let's clear up a misunderstanding that a lot of people have. Some people make the mistake of believing that God is the one doing the tempting. And the translation from the Greek to the English causes some confusion, let's be honest. But it's clear throughout all the rest of Scripture that God does not tempt us to do evil. In fact, the New Testament book of James is very clear on this when it says, "And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say that God is the one that's tempting me." God doesn't tempt us. It says, "God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else to do wrong." So how are we to understand Jesus' words when he says, "Do not lead us into temptation"? Most biblical scholars agree the words "lead us" in the original language are considered a permissive imperative and better understood to mean "do not allow" or "do not permit us to fall into temptation." God certainly permits trials, which, in fact, as you know, strengthen our faith. But he doesn't tempt us to sin. That's why Jesus asks earlier in the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." In other words, don't let me choose my will, God, over your will. Again, James helps clarify this for us when he says this, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." We have a whole process laid out for us here by James. Temptations, he says, arise from within us as we're attracted to the sinful things of this world. Those things entice us and they lure us and they pull us away from righteousness. And when we give in, we get hooked, we get dragged away, and the result is sin. And the book of Romans tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." And so I want to share a couple observations for overcoming our temptations. And here's the first one. There is a power to help us fight. Don't ever deny the fact that God has provided for us a power to help us fight. Our protection against the power of sin comes from the power of God and through the power of prayer. Our ability to wage war against things like gossip or greed or false gods or pornography or selfishness or impatience and all kinds of other immorality is rooted in the power of God within us, and it's activated by our prayer life. As I said before, you cannot do this on your own. You can't outsmart or outmaneuver the evil one. You'll be annihilated before you can even blink. In fact, listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you," he says. "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So there is, in fact, according to Isaiah and many other passages, a power to help us fight, and that power is God. But secondly, there is a plan to help us win. Let me offer you three practical steps to tap into God's plan for protection when you face temptations. The first step is to hate sin. You see, we avoid what we hate. When I was 5 or 6 years old, my mom made me eat cottage cheese. Now, I didn't want to eat it. It looked lumpy and disgusting to me. So against my better objection and my tears, she made me take a bite. She said, "How do you know you don't like it if you won't try it?" Well, I can look at it and see that it's pretty nasty. I'm not going to like this. But I ate it anyway, and it was even worse than I imagined it would be. I gagged and I choked and I spit it out. And even today, I don't see how anyone can eat it, much less like it. But my wife, she does. She loves the stuff. And she tells me all the time that it's just in my head. And I say, "Yes, you know what? You're right. I've made up my mind that I hate it." The way to beat temptations, the ones that you face, is to make up in your mind that no matter what, you hate sin. Because sin always leads to trouble. And ultimately, it brings death. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Because sin violates the very nature of God. There's nothing more opposite of God than sin. God is holy, and holiness cannot commit sin, and it cannot forever permit sin. So having a deep awareness of our own personal sinfulness helps us to hate sin itself. Rather than simply hating the punishment for sin, we begin to hate what sin does to God more than what it does to us. One of my seminary professors used to say, sinning was like slapping God across the face. Now, who would slap God across the face? Fact is, we do it every day, every time we choose to sin. So we need to increase our hatred for sin because we tend to avoid the things that we hate. Think of a food that really disgusts you. Multiply your hatred for it by 100 times and then apply that hatred to sin. So that's step one, hate sin. Step two is starve sin. What you feed grows, and it gets bigger and it gets stronger. And yeah, I might hate cottage cheese, but I certainly love Krispy Kreme donuts. A few months ago, I downloaded the Krispy Kreme app to my phone because they were giving away a dozen free donuts to anyone who signed up. And I'm pretty sure when you read in the Bible about manna in the Old Testament, it's actually Krispy Kreme donuts, but that's another story. It didn't take me long to eat my way through too many donuts. I can get pretty out of control on a box of Krispy Kreme donuts pretty quick. But the more you eat, the more you want. And this is true of the mind as well. The more you think about certain things, the more you become attached to those things, they become more a part of who you are. They become a part of your life. And you've got to learn to shut it down, to refocus and to move away. If you're tempted to look at pornography, for example, install a filter on your computer or ask a friend to hold you accountable. Join a support group, perhaps, where you can get some help with your addiction. If you're tempted to compare your boring life to the more exciting life of others and you become jealous or envious or covetous, then stay off social media or at least take a break. Nobody ever said at the end of their life, "You know, I wish I'd spent more time on Facebook and Instagram." Be ruthless. Starve your appetite for the sins that get your attention and watch your appetite for those things diminish. The longer you starve it, the weaker the temptation becomes. And yes, it takes some self-discipline. Worthwhile things always do. Most people don't get too excited about discipline, let alone self-discipline. Most of the time, we just kind of want to do whatever it is we want to do. But without self-discipline, your life implodes from the inside out. Someone once said, "Love may be the engine that pulls the locomotive, but self-control is the caboose that keeps it on the tracks." You see, without it, your life becomes a train wreck. And choosing to live an undisciplined, out-of-control life is the worst kind of sabotage because it's self-sabotage. Proverbs 25:28 says it like this: "Like a city whose walls are broken down is the person who lacks self-control." You see, self-control is the key to starving the sins that haunt you. Paul even tells us in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us also, he says, walk by the Spirit. So let's review quickly. First, we need to hate sin. Second, we need to starve sin. And then the last step is to outsmart sin. Get ahead of your enemy by predicting the ways you will be tempted before you're actually ever even tempted. You need a plan. Where am I tempted the most? Who am I with when I'm tempted the most? How do I feel right before I'm tempted? And, you know, you need to know these triggers. Is it frustration? Or is it when you're stressed out? Is it when you're lonely or bored or when you can't sleep at night? You need to know these things. You've got to understand where and when you're at risk. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a situation to decide, am I going to give in to this or not? Decide before the emotion ever kicks into gear. Someone once challenged me. They said, make a list of all the lives that I would impact if I gave in to sexual immorality. And so I did. I made a list. And every so often, I pull that list out and I reread it. And here's what my list says. It says, my wife, Sandy, my two children, my yet-to-be-born grandchildren, my extended family, all those family members, every person who who's ever heard me preach a sermon, everyone on every church staff that I've ever worked, and all those who have mentored me throughout the years. One selfish, immoral decision would wreck a lifetime of influence. See, you don't fix a drug problem with more drugs or a struggling marriage with an affair. Instead, you get on your knees before God, because turbulent times will tempt you to forget God. Don't. Shortcuts will lure you to leave God. Don't. Instead, do what pleases God and outsmart the temptations before they ever even come your way. I love this passage from Psalm 119. It's kind of lengthy, but it really helps to set the foundation for the hate it and the starve it and the outsmarted approach. Let's read it together. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for your laws have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. That last line says he hates every wrong way. Realize that hating sin is the first step toward defeating sin. Your faith will strengthen. It really will, as you feed it. Temptation will weaken as you starve it. And remember, what you feed ultimately grows. The way to outsmart sin is to spend time with God. Jesus says, if you want to break the sin habit, you've got to establish a prayer habit. And if you don't know how to pray, just start with the Lord's Prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be long or sophisticated. You can begin with just one sentence, or maybe even one word. Maybe your prayer today is just one word. Maybe it's just the word, help. Maybe you're ready to move a little closer in your relationship to Jesus. And if so, that's wonderful. Let me encourage you to go to journeychristian.com/next step and find out how you can take a next step in your journey with Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you right now, wherever you are, just to bow your heads and let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know all the bad habits and temptations in my life that have tripped me up for all these years. And you know the tempting situations I'm facing right now. You even know the temptations that lay ahead of me this week that I don't even know yet. So I'm asking for your help. I'm praying for protection, and I'm willing to apply your truth to my life so that I can change and I can be free. Help me to clearly see the patterns in my life that lead me into temptation. Give me the strength to start avoiding them, to plan to avoid those things whenever possible. Help me to refocus my attention on other things when I'm tempted. Remove the obstacles that make me vulnerable and replace them with your love and your forgiveness and your trust. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. We're sin runs deep, your grace is more, where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, Lord, we sing, we sing. Oh, my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and
listening to this message, Protection, with Associate Pastor Harvey Carpenter. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.